Father God, open our ears to receive what you have for us. Open our eyes so that we may see the direction you are leading us. And Father God, we pray that you would just take anything that is not of you, get it out of us now in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. I'm going to read these two scriptures. One is one of Nana Rose's favorite. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 simply says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your path straight. The other one is coming out of Romans 8, 28. We all know that one, right? For we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Amen? That's the kind of God we serve. I don't know how we got off the path of righteousness so easily. We look around, everything is looking chaotic, but we forget that God is still in control. And as long as God is in control and we do our part, this should not affect us. What should be affected is the world seeing the light of God in our lives. Amen? I'm going to talk about our affected relationship. Things that affect our relationship with God. First of all, not seeking God affects our relationship with him. Do you still have things that tie you to unholy relationships that has affected your relationship with God? Isaiah 55 and 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. The word seek means to search out or to search for by any method. To look for something wholeheartedly. When we look for something, we do not stop until we find it. Luke 15:8 says, Jesus gave a parable about a woman that had lost something. He asked, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp and sweep the house and search diligently until she finds it? She was looking for something valuable. The Bible says she had silver coins that's precious. But she lost one. So much so she left the 9 safe and swept her house until she found the coin that she had lost. She kept searching until she found what she was looking for. How many times have you lost something in your home, around your car, or anywhere, and you looked and looked and looked until you found it? Well, consider what is valuable in your life. Your home, your car, your family, friends, money. How about your time? It's often said time is money and my time is valuable. You ever heard anybody say that to you? You own my time and my time is valuable. Now, this woman that Jesus was speaking of in the parable was looking for a piece of change. How much more valuable is your God for you to be searching for? That's a question you need to ask yourself. Is he more valuable than your house, your car, your friends, your family, your money, your time? Do we seek him in the morning when we rise early in the morning? As we have our morning prayer, do we seek him? How about during our quiet time? Do we look for him, the one we love, all during the day as we go about our daily business, as we're driving our car down the highway, somebody cut in front of you, are you seeking God? Come on, you don't have to say anything. I know how that is. We have road rage, not realizing God might be keeping you from an accident. You think that person cut you off because they had any control over their actions? Most times when you ready to fuss them out, you look over there and haven't paid attention to anything that you said or did. Couldn't care less. But God says, I'm trying to stop something happening in your life. So I placed that person there to do what they did. How many times have you gone into ask for a credit in anything and you got turned down? Say, well, it's because they just don't like me. They had it out for me. But it could be because God didn't want you to spend that money there when he had other uses for it. We got to realize that God is in control of every situation. So how do we affect our relationship with him? Not seeking him. Also not praying. How can we become a prayer warrior if we are not committed to the kingdom purpose that God has already prepared for us? You know, God has already prepared a purpose for your life, right? We know that prayer is our way of communicating with God. Jesus showed us that continually. Mark 1:35 says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus would always talk to his Father about what was going on and would ask what his will was for that day. Do we do that? I know I'm guilty sometimes of just getting up and moving, forgetting that he's the one that woke me up. He's the one that gave me breath that I could breathe so I could start my day. How dare I not say thank you, Lord, for this day? Thank you for waking me up this morning and starting me on my way. And when you start talking to him, guess what? He'll talk back. He'll say, I want you to do this today. And if we're listening, we're being obedient, we can do that. Jesus would talk to his Father about what was going on and ask what his will was for that day. And guess what? God never steered him wrong. He always gave him the right directions. Even when it looks like things aren't going to turn out right, God never allows himself to not get the glory. Did you know that? God will get the glory in any and every situation. God will be glorified. When the disciples asked him to teach them how to do as he did, he taught us in Matthew 6, 5 through 15, how not to pray. He says in 6, 5 and 6, when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard above with their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Have you ever heard someone pray that you could time their prayer by what they said over and over again? You can literally pray their prayer from memory. Jesus said, don't be like that. I remember this deacon, bless his heart. Every time he got up to pray, he would say the same thing over and over again. You wonder, if this is a talk with Jesus, if this is a talk with God, don't you have something new to talk to him about? You know? Just be thankful. Quit begging. He won't hear you begging all the time. He know what you need before you even ask. Thank him. It says Philippians 6, don't be anxious over anything, but with prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, make your requests known. Right? Present your request to God, and he hears each and every time we pray. Then he tells us how to pray. And this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, in that prayer that he taught them to pray, they acknowledged who God was. They gave him honor. But they talked to him first. You ever go in there and talk to your parent before you ask for anything? You honor their who they are. You give them respect that's due them. Then you ask, right? That's what we need to do with God our Father. We know that prayer changes things. We've seen it in our lives, in the lives of our families and friends. We've even seen it in other saints' lives. God has given us the privilege coming to his throne of mercy and grace. How do we commit ourselves to the Lord? First, Paul says, pray without ceasing. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, it says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. David said in Psalms 119 and 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Then Jesus said, be a community. And he told us in Matthew 13 and 34, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. Prayer changes things. You got to be careful of what you say about people, how you treat people, because you know God won't hear your prayer if your prayer is going to go up and hit the ceiling and come right back down. You know? When Jesus gave us the command, he said, new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Christ loved us so much, he died for us. How many of us would die for someone we don't even love? We didn't love him. He loved us first. So much so that he died for us. And then God gave me this one. I know we say so many things about, I could say so many things about our affected relationship with God, but he gave me this one. Because of our situation in the world today, we see the church trying to get involved in politics and getting involved in other business that they really need to be praying about rather than getting into. Pray. Pray. You want your politicians change? You want the city change? Pray. That's one way we cut our relationship with God, by trying to yoke with the world. When will we cut ties with the ungodly and seek righteousness and holiness that Jesus has already died to give us? The reason that God gave me this was to show us that we as Christians should not become the world, but that we have the hope for the world. We cannot do this by disobedience, for God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So we know that the hope for the world we have, and that's Jesus. As we give Jesus, give the world Jesus, you give them hope. You know, and I'm talking about the world, and I'm not talking about the whole wide world, even though that's what it applies to. But, you know, your world could be your neighbor. Could be the person you work with. That's the world. And you know that they don't have Jesus, that they don't know him. I was telling that, Jocelyn was telling me about my great-grandson, who's 4 years old. His mother took him into the store. And this man was looking at him, and he looked at him. He said, do you know Jesus? He said, he's tough. Jesus is tough. He can beat anything. He's strong. He's stronger than, well, no, whatever he said he's stronger than. But he began to witness to this man about Jesus, 4 years of age. God, that we have that boldness, that we can go and ask, do you know Jesus? And when we get the answer, yes or no, we can tell of his goodness, tell who he is. So as sons and daughters of the Most High God, what do we gain by trying to be like the world? 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18 says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? We don't have anything in common. What we have in common as believers is Christ and the faith we have in God, the faith we have through Christ Jesus. That's what we have in common. We don't have anything in common with the world or with unbelievers because they don't believe the same that we believe. Now, as soon as they get saved and start believing what we believe in, hey, we can get yoked up with them real easy. In fact, that's what Christ wanted us to do, is make disciples. You can't make a disciple out of somebody that's already been saved. You need to make a disciple out of someone that does not know Jesus, does not know God. That's who you make a disciple out of. Amen? Says, what agreement there is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. That's who we are. Our bodies are a temple. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Aren't you glad? Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So we must seek the Lord. Seek God. He wants us to find him. And the greatest thing to remember is that when you're seeking God, is that God is not lost. We don't have to find him like he's lost. He's not lost. We were. And he sought us. We were the lost ones. So God did not make us to truly find him. He found us. Don't you remember what it says in Romans 5 and 8? But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Then we must be prayerful. When we pray, we must seek the will of our Father and be obedient just as Jesus Christ is obedient, even to the cross. You remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying, Father, if there's any other way we can do this, can you remove this cup from me? And then he said, oh, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I know I'll sit here to die for Carol. She had a lot of sin. I was sent to die for her. Actually, I was sent to die for this world. Because even when they don't love me, I love them. Somewhere it says that it was a joy for Jesus to die for all. He counted it as joy to hang on a rugged cross for your sin and my sin. And we need to let the world know that Jesus is the hope for this world. Lastly, We must not yoke up with the world. We must realize God is in control and that he knows what is best for his children. We are not of this world. We're only pilgrims traveling through. We have another home that one day we will share with our brother Jesus Christ and our Father God. Are you looking forward to that day? I am. I look forward all the time. I'm looking forward to the day when I can be with my Father. I'm not talking about my physical father, even though I love my father. My daddy was a good man. Mr. Stevens was a man of his word. We as Christians need to understand when God puts that in you, we need to be children of the word of God. Not our word, but his word. Amen? So when we tell somebody we're going to do something and we don't do it, what are we doing? We're lying. What do they do? Said, oh, this Christian is lying to me. That's a sin. Lord, forgive us. But when he shows us that, what we need to do is do better. We know better. When we know better, we do better. When we know better, we will do better. God says, I love you guys. So therefore, I'm going to send my son to die for you. All you got to do is believe that he's the Son of God. God raised him from the dead. Make him your Lord and Savior. And with faith, you will be saved. If you believe that, faith is believing in something you haven't seen. Nobody can tell you any different once you've had the faith to believe in that. Amen?